Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our Super Groovy Thursday Open Forum program. Open Forum is for you if you've got any question about the Catholic Church, about how the Catholic Church works, about what the Catholic Church believes, about why the Catholic Church works that way or believes those things. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour taking your questions is Dominican Father Paul Jerome Keller. He's presently Associate Professor of Sacramental Theology at Mount St. Mary's of the West Seminary in Cincinnati. He's the past president of the Society for Catholic Liturgy. And he's also the author of 101 Questions and Answers on the Sacraments of Healing and A Lenten Journey with Jesus Christ and St. Thomas Aquinas. Father Paul Jerome Keller, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's wonderful to be back with you, Si. Thank you very much.
It feels like it's been a long time. I don't. Maybe it was the holidays intervened or something.
That's what I was thinking, too. It's been too long.
Yeah, it has. Did I get all the books? Did I miss any?
Yes, no, thank you. You got them both.
But
I'm
you're
working on one right now that is due to the editor in just a couple of weeks, and it will be meditations for each day of the year on the Eucharist.
Ah, right. That's the one I'm looking forward to. Okay.
And that will be St. Benedict Press.
All right. You'll have to let us know when it comes out.
Yes, I will.
And I always get a kick out of the St. Mary's of the West because it seems very far east to us, Cincinnati. But the seminary's back in session, second semester, and
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. We're in full gear. And almost halfway through the semester, we're coming down to the end of week 7 of 15 weeks, and things are going swimmingly well. In fact, good news, Si, we're adding on a wing because we don't have room for all the seminarians that are coming to us.
Wow, wonderful.
Both from Cincinnati and other dioceses of where bishops are sending their men to us. So we are full up and have to add on.
Well, now, if you're approaching, like, there's 8 weeks left in this semester then, does that mean that you have men who are in the final weeks before they will go to their home diocese and be ordained?
That is exactly right, yes.
And is it a time of retreats, or you just continue your studies right up to the end, or are there special things that happen as you approach that day?
By canon law, they must go on retreat, but they are in class right up until early May. Most dioceses don't have ordinations until the end of May or the third week of May, somewhere in there, or sometimes even throughout the month of June. So they do have time, but they do need to make a canonical retreat before they can be ordained as well. And they will have time for that.
And that's not at the seminary. They go somewhere else for that.
No, usually we send them somewhere else so that they can have a, you know, kind of not be thinking of the place where they've just been studying for the last
right.
number of years
right.
and so forth.
Right. Well, a lot of men to keep in our prayers then. Do you know how many from the are expected to be ordained this year from the seminary?
This year, a total of, the numbers... I have so many different classes of students. Let me think about this for a second. I think we are ordaining 10 to the priesthood this year.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Father, for all that you do.
You're welcome.
Again, 888-318-7884, our number, 888-318-7884. We had a professor from the seminary in Detroit, I think Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit, Mary Healy, was on earlier in the week, and she told
them, Mary, she's wonderful.
Isn't she great? She was saying that they teach their students that when it says that Jesus performed a miracle in the gospel, that he actually performed a miracle. Are you teaching that kind of stuff?
I tell my students it's all true, as opposed to the.
I'm
went
so glad.
Some crazy times in the church where things were being taught in the seminaries that would make your skin crawl. You know.
Yeah. Well. That's why I asked you that, because there was a time when there were these kind of rationalistic and naturalistic ideas out there, and people forgot Jesus is God. I get so
right.
He does miracles.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're teaching the Orthodox faith there, Father.
Oh, absolutely. There is none other. I'll tell you that.
Amen. 888-318-7884 is our number. If you have a question about the Catholic faith, maybe it's something that's always bothered you. Maybe something you just don't understand about why we Catholics do that or believe that. Or maybe you've got someone in your life who needs an answer and you just don't have the answer easily to hand to help them with a difficulty with the faith. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. Whether you are Catholic or not Catholic, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. A whole bunch of folks on the line. So we start with Justin in North Dakota, listening on 91.7 FM. Justin, you are on with Father Paul Jerome Keller.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Justin. Your
Hello,
question?
Justin.
What's that?
Your question, Justin.
My question. It's about the creation of the earth. I know that it's accepted that the earth is round and circles around the sun, but I mean, there's a particular verse, Psalms 104, verse 5, says that God created the earth and put it on a foundation, but it'll never move forever and ever. So I'm kind of wondering how we got to the belief of, or at least the acceptance of the fact that it sounds like the earth isn't a ball to me.
In the psalm, you mean, it sounds like the earth that's being described is not a ball.
Correct. It's okay. In place.
Okay. Father?
That's kind of what my, yeah.
Great. Thank you for the question, Justin. So the Holy Scriptures are given to us by Almighty God in order to lead us to the truth of our salvation, and especially for that, right? So they're not given to us as a science book or a history book, although they do contain things like history and science. The primary reason for the Scriptures and the way that we read them is in light of how they speak to us, how God is revealing himself to us and ourselves to ourselves, and most of all, how we are to come into union with him, because that's what he wants. That's why he's revealed himself in the first place. That's why he created us. And so when the Scriptures speak about the centrality of the earth, I think we need to read it, especially in the light of the scientific evidence that we absolutely have that the earth is on its own rotation and so forth around the sun. So, but I think one of the beautiful things that the Scriptures can show us when it speaks about the earth and the kind of centrality that the Scriptures speak about is how important we are to God, that we are the apple of his eye, really. And we see that again in the Scriptures in one of the Psalms, that God is so in love with us. So I think the way to read some things in the Old Testament that speak about the universe centering around the earth, and this was something that was thought for many centuries up until, well, I don't know when science finally discovered the reality, but I think we can see it in that light, how important we are to God. That doesn't mean we are the be all and end all, but it does mean that he desires us and that he is, we might say, in a very good way, out to get us, that is, to embrace us and draw us into union with himself.
Justin, how does that strike you? Justin? Does that answer work for you?
Hello?
Justin?
Hello?
Okay, I get. We have a little. Sorry, all week we've had these funny
technical
little
difficulties.
Yeah, it's been a crazy week with the
Houston,
phone.
Houston, are you there?
Yeah, I'm going to guess that I will speak for Justin. Thank you, Father, for that excellent answer. we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live with Father Paul Jerome Keller right after this.
Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics. Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin, and I'm here to tell you about the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how it works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we're going to knock 60% off the price. Then you can challenge yourself to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off, free shipping, and over 500 answers to questions you've had about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge, and together we can be part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into, or back to, the practice of the Catholic faith. This Lent, plant seeds of faith in the hearts and minds of your non-Catholic friends and family. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today. You can order your copies of Why We're Catholic by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Paul Jerome Keller is our guest this afternoon, and our topic, well, whatever is on your mind. If you have a question about the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church, we welcome that question. 888-318-7884. We go now to Brian in Bangor, Maine, listening on the Presence Radio Network. Brian, your question for Father Keller.
Yes, good evening. My question is, in the teaching of the Catholic Church, if Mary was born without original sin, and therefore there was no need for her to be baptized, is that accurate, or is it not known whether she was baptized or not?
Right, great. Thank you for your question, Brian. Good question. And wonderful insight on your part. Yes, Mary was conceived without original sin. That's what the Immaculate Conception is. And she would not have needed baptism in that sense, right? Because she had the application of Christ's passion, which is what baptism does for us. It gives us the fruits and the power of Christ's death and resurrection. Mary was already received the fruits of Christ's passion and his death, his resurrection, prior to the fact, right? God can work outside of time as well, and so she was preserved from all sin, including original sin. So in that sense, she wouldn't have needed baptism. But there's something else, Brian, that I think is worth thinking about, and it is this, that Christ is in the world. I mean, so we have this, if we could say it this way, that the Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, became man, and so we have Christ himself as a kind of sacrament of the Father, a sign of the Father, a sign of the presence of the divinity. At least his flesh is that, right? His flesh united to his divinity. And as a result, in seeing Christ and being with Christ, they have him directly. The sacraments come into play after his ascension into heaven. When do we need the sacraments? When he's not physically in the flesh here on earth anymore. And as a result, the sacraments become essential. So Mary, for two reasons, really would not have needed baptism on account of her Immaculate Conception. And the other is that she had already a direct contact with the living Word of God in her life.
Okay, Brian?
Thank you. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate the question. 888-318-7884, the number. Let's go to Catherine in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Catherine, thank you for your call. You are on with Father Paul Jerome Keller. Your question, please. Catherine?
Good evening, gentlemen. Father Paul, my question is regarding the Apostles' Creed, where it says he descended into the dead, or he descended into hell. So on the third day he rose again. So why did he go down to hell?
Great question, Catherine. A lot of people have that question. We pray it, or we recite this in the Creed every Sunday at Mass, don't we, and on other holy days of obligation as well. Or when we pray the Rosary, we recite the Apostles' Creed as well. Christ went into the depths of the earth, the Catechism tells us, and that's what hell, the word hell represents, not the hell where Satan, the abode of Satan, but rather the place of the dead. So we might even think of the gates of Sheol, right? The place where those who had not yet been redeemed, because Christ had not yet come, right, for all those centuries and millennia of the universe. So Christ had not come. He now has entered the world. His passion, he's gone through his passion, he's died, and he goes to the depths of the earth, and to the depths of death, we might say, to the gates of hell, for those who had already died but had never experienced him, right? All of those who were awaiting him. So the Catechism tells us, puts it very beautifully, that he descended into the depths of death so that the dead would hear the voice of the Son of God, and that those who heard would live, right? So they would receive living life. So he came to announce salvation to them, those who had been awaiting him. And we want to think especially of the people of the Old Covenant who had already been set up to be, who had been chosen as God's people, especially those people. We might think of the prophets, for instance, or Adam and Eve is really a beautiful image. We have in the Greek church, we often see an icon of Christ's resurrection, and one of the very first things that he does is to go and rescue Adam and Eve, to get Adam and Eve from the gates of hell, from the chains of their imprisonment, awaiting the Savior as they were.
Okay, Catherine?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the call. Again, 888-31-TRUTH is our number. It's open forum. The calls, we have lots and lots of calls coming in, but I'm pretty sure if you call now, we'll get you before the top of the hour. If you have a question about anything having to do with the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church, let's go now to Michael in Lafayette, Indiana, listening on Catholic Radio there. Michael, your question for Father Keller.
Hello. I was wondering what the Father's opinion is of the word denomination, because serious Catholics who study the faith don't consider the church to be one church among many, but the word denomination seems to imply one church among many, and I don't want to be arrogant about this, but at the same time, I don't want to ignore facts either, so I just want to know the Father's opinion about the word denomination.
Sure, great question, and thank you. Thank you for your desire to be humble, Michael. So it's a good thing. I think you're on to something, right? So whenever I've used the word denomination as a Catholic, I've always used it for what we officially refer to as ecclesial unions when we refer to other Christians who are not Catholic. We don't refer to them as churches, not officially anyways, and certainly not theologically. So, for instance, we would not theologically refer to say that the Anglicans are a church or that the Presbyterians are a church. We would say that they are ecclesial unions. That is, they have some kind of gathering together for the worship of God in Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, as a Catholic, I have to say that whenever I've used the word denomination, I've used it for non-Catholic groups, and certainly not, but I've never thought of the Catholic Church as one denomination among many. If someone is using the word in that way, then I think that they might be misunderstanding the reality of the church that Jesus Christ founded and his desire that there be one church. So I think that might, if that clarifies it for you. So yes, I would agree. We're not, the Catholic Church is not one denomination among many. There are not many ways to Jesus. There's one way to Jesus that he's given us. And that's not to be arrogant. It's simply to say, this is what our Lord said, right? If I made this up, if I said, you know, I've decided that this is what I'm saying is the truth, regardless of what anyone else says, that would be arrogant. But if I simply repeat what Christ has said, if I am doing what Jesus wants, I don't see how we can be arrogant. It might appear that way to someone who doesn't like to hear it, and nor do I think that we should kind of bash anybody over the head either. We want to be charitable, and I'm certainly not hearing you say that. But I suppose it would be possible for someone to kind of come off in that way. I hope that helps, Michael.
Yes, it does. It's not necessarily a dirty word, is what I'm hearing.
Right. Not necessarily, as long as we use it properly. Yes.
Yeah, and we're not allowed to say dirty words on the radio anyway. So thank you, Michael. Thanks very much for that call. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Let's go to Austin, right nearby here in Temecula, California. I know Austin is a smart guy because he's listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. That means he went to the iTunes store or the Android store and got the app. Austin, your question for Father Keller.
Hi, Si. Thanks. Hi, Father.
Hello, Austin.
My question, how are you guys?
Good.
My question is, my girlfriend's Protestant, and she asked me, you know, like, why be Catholic and not just Christian? And it seems like an easy question, but it seems like such a big, like, there's so many aspects that you could give. And she believes in, like, parts of the Catholic Church, but then there's other parts that she doesn't. So I was wondering if you could help me out with, like, a good answer to give to her.
Well, we can try. Do you have about 13 hours that we can talk?
As a matter of fact, he does not, Father.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll try to do what we can in just a few minutes. So, first of all, Catholics are Christian. I want to dispel the notion that there's a difference between a Catholic and a Christian, right? And I understand what some people are getting at when they use the words, but words are important. And so we should just get that right out there to begin with. Catholics are absolutely Christian. In fact, Catholics are the original Christians. And so why be a Catholic as opposed to being a Christian who's not a Catholic, which is probably the better way to phrase that question, is simply to say, well, wouldn't you want the whole thing? Do you go to a movie and only watch half the movie? You know, get up halfway through and say, I don't want to know the ending. That would, or would you walk in halfway through a movie rather than wanting to see the whole thing, or read a book? I'm just going to read every other page of this book because you know I can say that I read the book by going through every other page, or at least I'll get to the end. But I won't have the fullness of what's contained in that book. I won't know everything. So if someone says to me, what do you think about what happened to the character Leroy? I'd say, Leroy? Who's Leroy? Oh, didn't you read the book? Yeah, I read the book, but I didn't see anything about a Leroy. You see what I'm saying? If you only read parts of the book, you can't say you read the whole book, and you've left out a lot of the truth. You've left out a lot of the story. And that, in a nutshell, is why I'd say become a Catholic. You don't want partial truth. You want the whole truth. So if I don't have 13 hours and I only have 3 minutes, that's what I would say, Austin.
Well, what would you say, Austin?
Well, I would agree.
Okay.
I definitely would.
Does that argument work for you, though?
Yeah, I think it's just more going through, like, the theological aspects and going through them one by one. That's kind of, like,
absolutely.
The real,
yes.
The difficult yes. part. But it's kind of the most winning because once you – you know, really explain and kind of try to see the truth in all of it, you know, it really, like, sets in deep, and I think it stays there after that point. But, yeah.
Well, Austin, let me say this about your methodology here. You desire to do this, and this is really, really good. I want to say two things. The first thing is always pray and ask for divine assistance, for the light of the Holy Spirit in these conversations, and God will guide you. And ask the Holy Spirit to open your girlfriend's heart to this message as well. Secondly, I would not beat her over the head necessarily with the catechism, but I would have the catechism on hand in order to help you explain things. Thirdly, and maybe even more important than some of this also, thirdly, go to Catholic.com, go to Catholic Answers. There are so many wonderful articles on Catholic Answers that explain differences between denominations amongst themselves, between the Protestants and the Catholics, or people who don't even, who are not Christian at all.
Austin, hang on the line. I'd like to get your address. We'll send you a copy of a book we got here called Why We're Catholic. That might be helpful to you, too, in addressing these things, in addition to all the things that Father Paul Keller just advised. Austin, thanks for the call. Father Keller will be back in just a minute, God willing. We'll take some more of your calls. It's open forum on Catholic Answers Live today. Any question you've got on the Catholic faith, we're going to do our best to give you an answer right after this.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right, subscriptions to Catholic Answers Magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Where are the seven sacraments found in the Bible? Why do we need the sacraments? Can't God just give me grace directly? How do some sacraments leave a permanent mark on the soul of the person receiving them? 20 Answers the Sacraments explains the mystery of these powerful gifts from God, defends the Catholic understanding and administration of them, and shows you how to receive them with the disposition needed to make the most of their effects. 20 Answers the Sacraments is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession, and when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Leave it alone. That's the groovy music. I wait all week for this music. I'm not having you cut it short, Nick. That's why we call it Groovy Thursday right there. Groovy music. Whenever we're doing open forum on Thursdays, we get to hear the groovy music from Nick Check and the Dead Century. And Nick, the sound man, is not allowed to cut it short on me. Father, did you enjoy the groovy music?
I did. I didn't know that it was only on Thursdays, though.
Yep, that's it. There's one time he plays it during the week. He makes me wait all that time, and then I get like 30 seconds of the groovy music.
And then he sometimes cuts you short?
Well, I don't know. You know Nick is a very helpful guy, but he's a mean person. He's a very mean person.
I can't believe it. Yeah, Nick, you need to go to confession to me, so yeah. We'll get together.
Right now, Nick, Get on the microphone. Go confess to Father. Ah, well, we better not do that. It is open forum here at Catholic Answers Live. If you have a question about the Catholic faith, we'll probably have an answer. We'll certainly do our very best to get you an answer. 888-318-7884 is the number. We go now to Michael in Pensacola, Washington, listening on KBLE. Michael, you are on with Father Paul Keller.
It's Issaquah, Washington, but good afternoon anyways.
It's Issaquah?
Issaquah, Washington. It's a suburb outside of Seattle.
I am going to have a talk with Elisa in a little while. She wrote Pensacola. It must have sounded like Pensacola to her. I thought it was kind of cool. I didn't know there was a Pensacola, Washington, and now I know there's not. All right, Issaquah, Washington, Michael. Your question for Father.
Hello, Father. How you doing?
Hello, Michael. Great. How are you?
Good. My question is, I'm 55 years old, and there's a particular sin I've been wrestling with for a long, long time. And I was told in the confessional that I would not be able to quit that sin. Is that true? I mean, is that like, because it left me kind of hopeless, to tell you the truth.
Oh my goodness, Michael, my heart breaks when I hear you say that. I'm so sorry. No, I think the priest is absolutely wrong, and I'm very, very sorry that he said that. There is always hope. If there's no hope, I mean, if there is no possibility with the help of God's grace to overcome anything, then what's the point? You know, it's just, gosh, no, absolutely. There is always hope, Michael. So let me just make some distinctions here, first of all, okay? I wonder, you know, sometimes we misunderstand things, and I'm not saying you misunderstood, but if a priest were to say to someone in the confessional, there you will always struggle with some kind of sin, right? Every one of us commits at least venial sins, and probably multiple times a day, right? I know I do, certainly. Truth be told, I think we all do, right? We all commit many venial sins. And there are certain habits that we have that we all struggle with. Each one of us has some particular difficulty that is more of a trouble for us than it might be to the guy standing next to us, which is interesting, right? But if you were to know what's going on in his life, you'd see that he has some other kind of struggle. But that doesn't mean that we're necessarily falling into sin, and certainly it's not necessary to fall into mortal sin. And I don't want you to say anything more than to reveal anything more than what you've already revealed. I want you to just leave it at that and let me talk about it. But venial sins, we're going to commit venial sins, and we shouldn't just take that lightly. We should try to overcome them, because venial sins destroy charity in us. They do it slowly, like taking the logs out of a fire slowly. Eventually, that fire could go out if we're not careful. Whereas mortal sin is the dousing of the fire all at once, and the love of God, the friendship that we have for God is killed by mortal sins. And so God gives us the grace in many ways to overcome mortal sins. First of all, when we go to confession, we are forgiven those mortal sins, and God gives us grace to fight against them in the future. And repeated confessions, even when we don't have to go to confession, are very helpful, because we continue to grow in grace. Another way to grow in grace is by frequent Holy Communion, because Holy Communion strengthens us against mortal sin, and in fact against venial sin, against all sins. It helps us to grow in charity. Holy Communion feeds the fire of charity in our souls. Daily time of prayer, having a time where we talk to God every day, reading the Holy Scriptures, reading good holy books, spiritual reading, doing charitable acts for other people, reaching out to other people. There are so many ways that we can grow in grace, that is, in our friendship with God, God's friendship, open ourselves to God's friendship to us. So the bottom line is, no, you can be free of any mortal sin. You may struggle with it. You may be tempted a lot. The temptations may bother you for a long time, maybe even for the rest of your life. But there is, You are not hopeless. No one, absolutely no one on the face of the earth is hopeless. And I want to dispel that from your mind or anyone else's mind who happens to be listening this evening.
Does that instill a little more hope in you there, Michael?
Oh, absolutely. It's reborn, so to speak.
Yeah. Yes, so, that's...
I mean, because I felt despair. I got a little bit of a cold here, so you'll forgive my hoarse voice. But anyways, yeah, I just had despair about it. Now I don't.
Oh, the
hope.
I'm so glad to hear it, Michael, because what kind of Christ do we believe in if we don't believe he can overcome sin in us? That's what
absolutely.
He does in us.
Amen.
You know, Father, I can remember, and I just want to say this because I can't remember if you said this as part, but I there came a moment in my own life where I had the very, it was very easy for me to go. It was just very convenient because of where I was working to go to adoration every day. And nothing ever happened in adoration, just sat there and went to adoration. But I found that I could overcome. In particular, for me, it was something that I was having trouble forgiving. And it became easy to forgive
yes.
after that.
Yes.
And
yeah.
and that's, I think, for me, the lesson was Christ does it. You give him the time, you give him the opportunity. He does overcome these things in us.
Absolutely, Si. That's a. I'm glad you mentioned adoration. It's going to in front of the Blessed Sacrament, whether we just go in front of the tabernacle or if we have the great fortune to be able to go to the sacrament exposed in a church or a chapel and spend time with our Lord. He heals things. It's like, if this is not original to me, many have said it, that it's like getting radiation, divine radiation
yes,
treatment.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah. Michael, have hope, okay?
Okay, thank you.
God bless you, brother. I really, really appreciate the call.
Amen.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Tanya now in Las Cruces, New Mexico, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Tanya, your question for Father Paul Jerome Keller.
Yes, Father Keller, thank you for taking my call. You mentioned that the people in Sheol, hell, were not saved or they weren't released from, I probably have this wrong, weren't released into wherever, their everlasting kingdom, until Jesus died for us. And then if that was the case, why was Elijah and Moses at the Transfiguration? And you can answer it. I'll just hang up and listen to you.
Okay, Tanya. Great question. Thank you. We have some very theologically astute listeners that are catching some of the particulars.
I know.
So
you got to be on
great.
Your toes, Father.
I know. Yes, absolutely. So the answer is that there were individuals of the Old Testament who were specially chosen. They stand out, right? Moses is clearly one of them. Now, I still want to make a point that even if he was not in Sheol and that he could appear with Christ and to Christ with Elijah and to the other apostles, it is true, nevertheless, that Moses, Elijah, and all of the great saints of the Old Testament still needed Christ's redemption, right? They looked forward to his redemption. And in fact, the great thing about Moses, Elijah, and many of the others is that they had been chosen as precursors. Moses himself is probably the greatest precursor in the Old Testament to Christ. By precursor, I mean he prefigures Christ. All the things that God chose him for are not somehow something that we read back about Christ onto the Old Testament. It is rather that the Old Testament was prepared for us in order to understand Christ among us. So there were certain chosen ones who were absolutely holy. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, we know. There seems to be some kind of assumption that something like, and it's not the same as the Blessed Virgin Mary's assumption, but something like that in the Old Testament. So there are figures in the Old Testament who do stand out and had to be sanctified, and that was on account of their greatness, their having been chosen specially by God. However, they still depended on the blood of Christ for their redemption in the future, right? So they, whatever graces they had were graces from something that had not yet happened historically, but divinely was with them. They were already able to somehow participate in the grace of Christ.
And as she said, Tanya hung up to listen, so we'll just say thank you, Tanya, very, very much for that call. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live with Father Paul Jerome Keller right after this.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we're going to knock 60% off the price, and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off, free shipping, and over 500 answers to questions you have about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge, and together, we can be part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our on-fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
We struggle with sin. We're distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. Thankfully, the Church has given us Lent, the perfect time for reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. The saints of the Counter-Reformation faced greater obstacles than these, yet they found the grace to persevere during a tumultuous period in the Church. How can we do the same? Reform Yourself is a great place to start. We all need to reform our souls. This Lent, let the saints who reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers, Catholic Answers Live, Groovy Thursday. It's got nothing to do with Friday. Tomorrow is Friday.
I thought you were going to say Catholic Answers frying, but maybe it was like fish frying.
Oh, that would be nice. We should do that on Groovy Thursdays. We should just have some fried food in here. Nick, get on that. We need a we need a fryer. Get a fryer.
Oh, I'm a fryer.
Oh, that. Well, good. You do the frying then, fryer. Fryer Keller.
Yes. Fly me out to San Diego and I'd be happy to.
Okay. All right. We just got, all we need is a jet. I'll work on that,
yeah.
Father.
Okay.
888-318-7884, the number. If you have a question about any aspect of the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church, Father Paul Jerome Keller is here to take your calls. We're going out to Jeff in Union, Kansas, listening on AM 740. Jeff, your question for Father Keller.
Hello. Good evening. How are you, sir?
Great, Jeff.
Yeah, I have a question. Just a little background on myself. I grew up Catholic. I'm 62 years old now. I grew up in actually Union, Kentucky. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Wow.
All my life I was in the Catholic Church. And I have a question in reference to Mary. As I understand, the Catholic Church teaches that Mary was without sin. That being the case, why did she acknowledge her need for a Savior? If she was without sin, why would she need to be saved?
Right. Great question, Jeff. You're showing your theological acumen by asking a question like that. So we know that after the fallen Adam and Eve, all have needed a Savior, right? So there's absolutely no denial in the Catholic Church from the earliest days of the church, which would mean from Pentecost on to our present day, there's absolutely no denial that every single human being needs a Savior, those that came before Christ and those that come after Christ. Everyone needs the blood of Christ. That is to say, they need his passion, his death, and his resurrection in order to receive his grace. How that grace is communicated is really the question that I think you're asking here. So Mary, it's not that Mary didn't need a Savior. She absolutely did, just like everyone else. It's simply that she was preserved from experiencing the effects of sin by a special grace because she was to be the mother of God. And it's very fitting, right? Why would God not choose a very special vessel to come into the world through? And that's what the Blessed Mother is. She's this chosen vessel. But that doesn't mean she didn't need him as a Savior. And in fact, we might even say that because of her being chosen, she suffered more than most, than anyone really, other than her own son. Because of her lack of experience of sin, which often deadens us to the sensitivities of what a full human being should experience, Mary would have experienced all of those pains as a result. And so she participated with her own son in the same way that you and I participate in Christ's suffering, as St. Paul tells us that we can do as well, to make up in the lack of in Christ, what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. What's lacking is our participation in it, and we add our participation in. So Mary did that as well. So she needed her Savior. She had her Savior. She was with him. She lived with him. He lived with her. And she participated in his work as well. We know that she traveled with him at various times, and she certainly was at the foot of the cross, and she would have experienced his resurrection as well.
Okay.
Mary was without sin because she was somehow she's somehow a different creature than the rest of us. No, don't think of it that way. It's not because she was without sin on her own. I think that might be what you're thinking. She didn't sin on her own. That's not what we're saying. We're saying she was preserved from sin. It has nothing to do with what she did. She didn't earn her own salvation.
Okay, Jeff, you were going to say something?
Yeah. All of us, according to Scripture, have sinned, all of us, and have fallen short of the glory of God. And because of the fact that we are all sinners, we need a Savior. Yes. Mary acknowledged her need for a Savior. Why would she do that if she was without sin? That's never made sense to me as someone who grew up in the Catholic Church and have read the Scriptures, and I've read them now for 35 years. Great. Why would someone who is not a sinner, who is not with sin, why would that person need a Savior? It makes no sense. The only thing I can say is that Mary was a sinner.
But it can make sense, Jeff. There is actually an explanation. Father, you want to give it another try?
Sure, I will. And if you want to add something in, Cy, feel free to jump in.
But since you said that, Father, I always think of Fulton Sheen's a drowning analogy, that there's two ways to be saved from drowning. One of them is you fall in the pool, you're drowning, someone saves you and pulls you out. Another one is you're near the pool, you're about to fall in, and someone saves you before you fall in. And that Mary is saved by Jesus. She is, in fact, saved by Jesus. She's saved from sin. Just like we're saved from sin, but in her case, it's before she fell in, not after.
That's a great analogy. And moreover, the person who didn't fall into the pool that was saved from sin, that is saved from falling into the pool, will forever think of the person that saved them as their Savior,
right,
even though they didn't fall into the pool, right? And that is how it is with Mary. Mary's not saying that she had a Savior who saved her from sin in the actual state of sin. He saved her from falling in to the sin And so she's going to praise him for the rest of her life. When you and I repent, Jeff, of our sins, and we're without sin, do we no longer have need of a Savior just because we're not in the state of sin? Absolutely not. We still need Christ. We still depend on him.
All right, Jeff, we're going to move on because we got lots of calls. I do thank you for the call, and we do open forum every Tuesday and Thursday. You're more than welcome to call. I don't want you to feel like I'm just giving you the rush out the door, but I'm starting to feel the pressure of getting to as many calls as I can. Let's go to Anonymous in Denver, Colorado, listening on AM 1060. Anonymous, your question for Father Paul Jerome Keller.
Hi, Father. Hi, Sai.
Hi.
My question is this. I'm a relatively new Catholic, and I've been told by several Protestant friends as a reminder that I do not have to confess my sins to a priest, that you can confess them directly to Jesus and not have to go through a priest. And I don't think the answers that I've given are maybe educated enough to make any sense to them. So how should I answer that question?
Sure. Great question, Anonymous. So first of all, we can go straight to the scriptures. We have in the letter of James that we should confess our sins to one another, that it's important to do that. Christ gave Peter, and we think of this especially today on the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter, that speaks about St. Peter's being chosen as the head of the apostles. Peter himself was chosen, or told especially by Christ, that he had the power to bind and to loose sins. The apostles were given that same power when Christ breathed on them after his resurrection and told them that he commissioned them to bind and to loose sins. So there's only one way, that there's only one reason Christ would give that power to Peter and the apostles and their successors, and that's because Christ wanted them to use it. That is to say that people would be in sin. And how will we know that someone's in sin? They have to confess it. But it's not just there that we see that that people have need of being freed from sin, or maybe conversely may not be freed from their sin for whatever reason, and that's a whole other question. But throughout the Old Testament, the very first thing, Scott Hahn makes this very clear in his book on confession. It's a beautiful thing if you can get your hands on it, Scott Hahn's book on confession. That Scott Hahn says that even Adam and Eve needed to confess. And the very first thing that God's trying to get them to do after they sin is to confess by saying, "Where are you?" And instead of confessing, they say, "We're scared, we're hiding because we're naked." But that's not what God asked. He said, "Where are you?" He wanted them to come out into the open. He wanted them to confess what had happened. And we see this time and time and time again throughout the Old Testament, and certainly it culminates in Christ giving the apostles, Peter and the apostles, the authority to forgive sins. So it's because Jesus says it. I think you got to be careful when you listen to these people, Anonymous, that they may be leading you down a wrong path here, right? Because they're not following what our Lord says very clearly in the gospel, that the apostles and their successors certainly have the authority to bind and to loose sin. So and there, of course, you can go to Jesus and talk to him directly. But when we have mortal sins, that is to say grave sins, sins that cut us off from our relationship with God, then we need to go and be reconciled with God through the church.
Anonymous?
Yeah.
Is that convincing to you?
It does. It does. It makes sense to me, and I just know... I know how I feel when I come out of confession.
How do you feel?
And it's palpable. I just feel like I feel lighter. I feel it's almost like the sky is bluer. The world is just it just feels better.
It's so true. And that's called grace. What you are experiencing my dear friend, is the grace of God. And never forget that and continue to make great use of it and bring your friends with you.
Thanks, Anonymous, for that call. Thanks, everybody, for your calls today. Father Paul Jerome Keller has been our guest this hour. Father, may we have your blessing before we go.
I'd be delighted. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father's books. You have to say one of them, Father, because I don't think I ever wrote it down here. 101 questions and answers on the sacraments of healing. And the other one is?
The other one is A Lenten Journey with Jesus Christ and St. Thomas Aquinas, is very useful for the current season.
Perfect time of year. Thank you so much, Father, for a great hour.
So great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's always great to be with you, Father. We will see you tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live, God willing. See you then.